Welcome into episode 188 of the Sources Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR podcast network. The Sources Say podcast is, as always, presented by our good friends at Justice Dental. You can make an appointment at one of two Lexington locations. That's on Wellington Way and Blazer Parkway. Now's a great time to schedule your dental cleaning. Remember that regular dental appointments are important for your overall health. You can learn more and make an appointment at JusticeDental.com. Dr. Justice and Dr. Thompson look forward to seeing you soon. I'm your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. Very happy to be joined once again by the one and only Sean Smith of Go Big Blue Country. Sean, how the heck are you?
I am fantastic, Jack. How are you?
Oh, doing just peachy. We are doing a little bit of a series of sorts here on the Sources Say podcast. Yesterday, we uploaded a show dedicated entirely to the Nike EYBL circuit and Kentucky's recruiting efforts on that end, who UK is looking at, who is kind of emerging as the best of the best in that class on that circuit in particular. It's the best circuit year in and year out. So we went a little bit, you know, in depth on that one, about an hour's worth of you know, scouting reports, breaking down kid by kid, DJ Wagner, you know, Robert Dillingham, from top to bottom, all the guys of UK interest. Now, Sean, we have you on. You were just down in Spartanburg at the Adidas 3SSB event where Orlando Antigua was watching a lot of Kentucky's, one future Kentucky Wildcat in particular, and then some other top targets. A pretty high-profile offer comes out of the weekend. Really awesome weekend in general. Not as many recruits to talk about, so this episode will obviously be a little bit shorter, but we still have plenty to talk about, and definitely several players to dive into and break down their scouting reports as well. So, Sean, we have the biggest name on the Adidas 3SSB circuit in terms of Kentucky interest is actually Kentucky's only commit in the class of 2023, and it's a very popular name. Everybody knows by now Reed Shepherd is joined on for the class, son of Jeff Shepherd. We've talked about him in detail on the show over and over again about what we think of his game and all that, but this is a little bit of a different setting, Sean, an opportunity to see him against, you know, some of the best in high school basketball in a completely different setting where he's not double and triple teamed every single night. And he puts up, you know, 30, 40 points a game against weak competition in that area. So I think it's a unique situation for him and a unique opportunity to see what he's like against some other, you know, Kentucky level talent. So you got to see him in person, Sean. What were your first overall impressions seeing him at down in Spartanburg?
He continues to get better, I think, is my biggest takeaway. You know, I live close to London. I'm inside of about an hour drive, so I'm able to make it to some of those 13th region games, the ones you're talking about where he's triple and double and triple teamed, and you don't get to get a lot of takeaways from that. I know you and I watched him last summer in some local high school games, but when you get to see him on this level, you get to see who he really is. And I spoke with Paul Biancardi while I was down there, and Paul just raved about Reed Shepherd and his game and where he's rated and everything in the rankings, and has a chance to maybe climb a little bit more, and especially seeing him against that talent. But the thing that stands out about Reed that's going to help him transition to Kentucky, Jack, is that basketball team, Midwest Basketball Club, is one of the best coached basketball teams you will see on any grassroots circuit. The way that they play, the way that they conduct themselves, the way that they're coached, that is what's going to help Reed with that transition from high school basketball to grassroots to Kentucky, where he's really well coached at North Laurel, but playing against this level of talent with the level of talent he plays alongside of, I think is a huge thing for him. And I think it's helping him grow his game this summer moving into the senior season.
Yeah, and you know, by chance, and or I guess not by chance and not by coincidence, he's coached by his own dad, Jeff Shepherd, and the father of Gabe Cups, who is an Indiana commit, very, very impressive player. Those two together are an awesome 1-2 punch for that Midwest basketball club. But yeah, very well coached. My concern, I guess, if I do have one, is that, and it's kind of a weird concern. Okay, it feels like a job interview where you know, they ask, what are your weaknesses? Oh, I'm too much of a team player. I get overly selfless at times. I share too much, things like that with job interviews. It's kind of similar to Reed Shepherd in those environments. He is a team first player who almost gets a little too passive at times. He gets too, you know, defers a little bit too much, and you really don't get to see who he is just in terms of a score first, kind of take games over by himself. He gets in that mindset every once in a while. We saw it when I got to see him up in Indianapolis at that event. He was going up against the Compton Magic, who, you know, talented group of players, the number one player in high school basketball in the class of 2025, plays for them. UK's newest offer, Andre Stojakovic, plays for that team. And that was when, you know, they got down early and they were fighting back. And that was a game that Reed Sheppard decided to take over late. The game went to like triple overtime. It was like 105 to, 100 final. And Reed put up, you know, 30-ish points or whatever. That was the best of the best of Reed. But if I do have a knock on him in these type of settings, that he does get a little bit almost too team oriented, which is almost a compliment in itself.
Yeah, and he actually did that too on the final possession of one of the games, and they lost the game. I thought he got downhill off a ball screen, had a chance to maybe shoot a little 8-9, 10-footer there to try to win the game, and instead tried to throw a pass kind of over his shoulder to a three-point shooter that got picked off, and then they went the other way and gave up a basket. So some of that too much unselfishness, where a play where I thought, hey, he's in a great spot to score, he's got great size there, I thought he should have finished that ball, but yeah, but he's, I just think that he's a really good guard that for this class. And I know we keep saying the jumpstart this class, but it's been jumpstarted for a while. He's been committed since the fall. So it's a good piece to have in your class. I know some college coaches that were standing there, I was standing close by, and they kept talking about how well coached the team that he plays for, how fundamentally sound Reed is, and how fundamentally sound all those guys on that team are. But that would be one of my concerns, too, that I think even with his North Laurel team, you see him at times be a little bit too unselfish.
Yeah, and it's kind of difficult because, you know, I've been trying helping out with the, you know, on three rankings and trying to figure out where do you rank a kid like that who it puts up, you know, 30, 40 points on any given night playing for North Laurel, but then plays in systems like this. And when grassroots season rolls around, you know, puts up solid numbers and looks pretty good, but does he look like a top 20 player in the class? It's hard to tell because he is so unselfish at times. And it does kind of get frustrating watching where it's like, man, I'd love to see him just take this game over because we've seen him do it. And even in this level, it's not like about talent. It's just because he wants to be, you know, such a team player, and he kind of gets overpasses and he over dribbles and you know, he does a lot of the other things, jumps the passing lanes, gets steals, blocks shots, you know, really tries to, you know, be as well-rounded as possible, but it almost comes to a fault because you really don't know where you rank a kid like that. Is he closer to top 40 or is he closer to top 20? Is he a five-star or is he a four-star? That's the kind of difficulty that I have right now with him, trying to figure out. And that was kind of one of the things I, you know, helping out with these on three rankings, I kind of said, let's keep him at that 25, 26, 27 ish range for now, until we get to decide, you know, after this spring and this summer, watching him play for, you know, on 3SSB circuit, is he going to be a five star? Is it going to be top 20? You know, kind of leave him in the middle of those two rankings before deciding if we need to give him a major jump or drop him, depending on how he performs. And right now I still haven't gotten that answer. And I was curious to see what you thought, because I didn't get to see him in Spartanburg. I saw him the previous live event, live period. So it's interesting to see that we kind of have similar, you know, praise, but also similar gripes as well.
Yeah, and I want to see him throughout the summer some more and into July and into some of those periods as Adidas kind of moves throughout their circuit. But I got to watch about a game and then the first half of another game. But I was trying to move around and watch so many other guys too. Reed's kind of the guy that we know the most about right now, right? Like we get to see him all the time. We still have all those questions we're trying to answer, but I was kind of trying to get familiar with all the other guys that Orlando Antigua was following around. It's been a couple of weeks since this event. I know we've had a lot going on before we really got a chance to really sit down and talk about it, but Orlando was a busy guy that weekend. He was walking around and you're trying to identify who they're watching on this floor. Okay. At one point, O was sitting upstairs and had his eye on two separate floors. So yeah. Was definitely busy watching multiple games, but he was courtside for every single moment that Reed Sheppard played.
Well, one of the players that he was watching, and one that earn a scholarship offer immediately after the weekend ended, which was kind of a surprise considering where he's ranked and kind of who he is. Andre Stojakovic, son of three-time NBA All-Star, you know, kind of one of the all-time legends in terms of pure sharpshooters in league history, Peja Stojakovic, his son receives a scholarship offer. Orlando Antigua extends the offer shortly after that live period that weekend. And, you know, like father, like son, the dude can shoot the ever-loving tar out of the basketball. It feels like every shot that he puts up goes in. That's just kind of his bread and butter. Doesn't, you know, not super quick, not overly athletic. You know, I think he runs the floor very well. I love his size, 6'7". But the dude's a professional bucket getter. That's what he's known for. He is a pure shooter through and through. I saw him put up just absolute bucket after bucket after bucket that first weekend. And clearly he did the same that following weekend with Orlando Antigua in attendance. And it resulted in an offer, Sean.
It did. And his frame for a wing scorer just stands out. I mean, he's 6'7". We're talking about a kid that his freshman year of high school didn't even make the varsity team. He was playing JV, but he was about 5'10 to 5'11 then, that had a 6 to 7 inch growth spurt after the pandemic started. I know he didn't play on the circuit, I think, for a bit. I know he was with his dad there. I think they were in Greece. So that kind of played into the rankings and kind of seeing where he was. I know he come in about 101, 102, 103 in the composite rankings. So this is a little bit of an under the radar guy that now has emerged and added all this length and size to his frame. And it just, he excels at making shots, and he can also get his own shot. That's the thing that stood out to me. It's very hard to guard a guy that is versatile as he is at a 6'7" frame that can get his own shot.
Yeah, if you're looking for a pure shooter with that size and length, that NBA length, that NBA size, I mean, yeah, you put it perfectly. He has grown into a size perfectly.
And how about a soccer background that helps him with his footwork?
Yeah.
I mean, it's at 6'7". Like, that's the thing that stood out to me, is off the ball, very good feet at working off screens and some action off the ball. Like, I was like, okay, this is a prospect. You know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, who all are they watching? Obviously, they were watching Reed. They're watching some other guys, and I'm like, all right, they're paying a lot of attention. And then, sure enough, the offer followed that night after I left. I kind of beat myself up about it, because I was like, okay, maybe an offer doesn't come till after the weekend. So I headed home from Spartanburg, and then there's an offer, and I'm like, well, I could have stayed and got an interview and talked about it, but I made the poor decision to leave.
Yeah, but, you know, thankfully there are more opportunities to see him live in person. Clearly that's going to be somebody that Kentucky and, you know, I'm sure John Calipari is going to, at this next live period, is going to want to stop in and see him in person as well. But definitely a name to keep a close eye on. You know, talking to people in basketball circles, it's definitely Kentucky is definitely up there on his time. And again, this is a kid that is ranked as of right now in the 70s and 80s, you know, not a kid that's in the, you know, top 50, top 40, top 30, you know, five-star range quite yet. I think he's going to get there at some point. But when Kentucky comes calling for a kid like that ranked where he is, you know, regardless of the prestige and kind of, you know, legacy status that he has and you know, that just the family ties. I mean, when Kentucky offers you, that's a pretty darn big deal for a kid like that. So clearly Kentucky's at least up there toward the top of his list already early. So definitely another name to keep a close eye on. If you're looking for a go-to shooter in that class, it's hard to beat Andre Stojakovic. Keep going down this list. Bay Fall, Sean, is a name that has kind of been around for a while. One that I know Kentucky continues to flirt with. They're trying to figure out exactly what his growth is. He kind of hit a little bit of plateau, had some you know, school issues, is no longer at that Denver prep that he was at. He got, I guess, officially kicked off the team. The coach released a statement and said something to the effect of, you know, detrimental to team conduct or something, and said that he, you know, needed to find a different place or whatever. Everybody I've talked to said that he is a great kid, and you know, it was kind of just an odd situation, really, I think, blown out of proportion. Some people I've talked to said that it really wasn't as big deal as they made it out to be, but it's, you know, worth bringing up. It's just kind of a back and forth dynamic with him in terms of where he's going to high school. And, you know, he started out ranked really high as I think number one in the On3, the first debut rankings at On3, is kind of trailed off just a little bit, kind of closer to that top 10-ish range. But Sean, clearly a lot to work with, runs the floor extremely well. Hard to find a better motor in that class, you know, that 6'11", 7-foot range. You're just kind of a high energy guy, workhorse talent that, you know, likes doing it all on both ends of the floor. And I think there's a lot to like about Bay Fall. Just interested to see what you think about him as, you know, one of the premier prospects in that front court, what's known as a pretty weak front court class in 2023.
Yeah, well, we talked a lot about frame with Stojakovic. Well, the first thing that you notice about Bay Fall is his frame stands out significantly. I'm talking about a guy that in transition, I mean, we're talking 3 or 4 strides from half court to the rim. That's how long he is. He can affect the game on both ends. He can block some shots. The thing that I saw, and I only got to watch one game of his that day, but he was frustrated in that day. He didn't hit a lot of shots, didn't get a couple of foul calls, and you could kind of tell body language is a bad thing, but then he picked it up towards the end, made some big plays. Interesting prospect. I know he likes to float around the perimeter, shoot some jump shots, and do some things. So I'm not really sure about how he projects. Is he, you know, does he grow into that frame and add some bulk and size? I think he naturally will. But a very interesting prospect that is a highly rated, a very talented kid. Just want to see throughout the summer here if Kentucky watches a few more times at some of these other events coming up and things. But a very, very talented player.
Yeah, and I will say that what you brought up, you know, kind of the, I don't want to say that he pouted or, you know, kind of the bad just approach, you know, mental approach to the game, whatever. I've heard that that's kind of the, you know, some of the issue is that he's just very passionate for both for better and worse. And I think that kind of, it's kind of a polarizing thing when you have a guy that just kind of puts winning first and just, you know, super passionate while he plays, that it kind of rubs people the wrong way and it can kind of brush the wrong shoulders. And, you know, so that does make a lot of sense. But I will say he went heads up against Samto Cyrille, who's known as, you know, his nickname's Baby Shaq, you know, just kind of freak physical, you know, attributes, 6'11", 240 pounds. He's on that Adidas circuit, plays for that Tennessee EAB team. Bay Fall absolutely destroyed him in the head-to-head matchup. I mean, absolutely, you know, skill-wise, outworked him. And, you know, it was kind of interesting because Samto is just such a physical presence, you know, 6'11", 240. You'd think that, you know, kind of a skinny player like Bay would just kind of get out-muscled and out, you know, just outclassed in that end. But Bay just really held his own, and he was really strong, kind of that lower body strength really, really separated himself. And he just flat out dominated him that game. And Samto's seen as one of the top centers in that 24 class. So, I mean, really interesting in terms of physical tools. Samto was clearly heads above Bay, but in the head-to-head matchup, it wasn't even close. Bay just absolutely destroyed him. So that's something to keep in mind, that in against the best talent at that event in the front court, he was clearly among the best. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. Rolling through these other names, Sean, Ian Jackson's a name that I know that you were very, very high on. I am very high on him. He's in the class of 2024, but with his age and just kind of how physically ready he is right now, there's a lot of talk that he could be a late reclass candidate. So just curious what you think. Obviously we have to pencil him in at the class of 2024 right now. So still a little, you know, far off into the distance, but physically I think he's going to be ready when it comes time to make a reclass decision, that he could do that down the road. I asked him when I interviewed him, you know, what he thinks about a reclass. He said, it's just not something I'm thinking about right now, but talking to people behind the scenes, they say that, you know, physically he's there and he, you know, age-wise he's there, grades, he's fine. That could be an option that presents itself down the road. So a name that I would, if you're a Kentucky fan, keep an eye on among that guard class in 2023. Ian Jackson's definitely one of those guys.
There are guys that I watched, and there are very few of them, there's not many, that I say could step on a college floor right now and get you a bucket. He is one of those guys. I don't think that there's 2 years of high school basketball that he even needs. I'm thinking one more year in a possible reclass. I love his game. I love his energy on both ends of the floor. There was a play there. He was by far my favorite prospect that I watched the entire weekend while I was there. And I watched him twice. he didn't take a single play off on either end of the floor in grassroots basketball. That is a very, very rare thing to see. Like, I mean, all these top prospects, Jack, you know it. They play hard, then they'll play take a play or two off, and then, boom, they're playing hard again. Not this kid. There was one play where he got up and he caused a turnover defensively, and it was so exciting that Orlando Antigua started clapping and then shouted, like, yeah, that's it. You know, and I'm like, okay, this is a kid that Kentucky really likes. We know at some point an offer will come. He can shoot the ball too. I know he showed some consistency with his jumper. He showed the ability to pass the ball in transition. He'll also dunk on you too. Like a very, very talented guard, two-way player, has a chance to be an elite on-ball defender, in my opinion.
And keep a very close eye on him in particular, because he is very, very, very high on Kentucky. Every conversation I've had with him, he could not have been higher on the Cats. And it's really odd, Sean, because Ian's offer list is just not one you'd expect for a player of his caliber. You know, he's starting to get some, you know, high major blue bloods here recently. But, I mean, it has taken a minute for the big name schools, you know, the St. John's and Rutgers and UConn and schools like that right now have been kind of on him and offered early and have been making a hard push. He's from New York, you know, that a lot of the Northeast local schools are on him hard, but he is clearly a player. He's a top five, top three for my money, top three player in that 24 class. I'm just shocked that he just doesn't have the best of the best blue blood offers already. I think when that contact period begins in June, where you know schools are able to contact players directly in that class, and that's usually where we see a lot of the offers coming. I would be absolutely shocked if he is not among the first names brought up by Kentucky to receive an offer from them.
Yeah, that's where it'll fire up. I think when you get into that period where they can start contacting and officially offered scholarships face to face and doing some things. And I know you watched him in Indy. I watched him in Adidas. I plan on watching him at least another time this summer, hopefully along the road here sometime, probably in July. I know there's some Adidas fans. I know they got the one near Charlotte. They got some others. So I'm planning to watch him some more, but that is a guy that if you're a Kentucky fan, I'd be paying close attention to. I mean, he's rated highly as a top five kid in that class in the composite. A very, very talented guard, plays with some very good players on that team as well. Just a high energy guard to me that fits the mold of what John Calipari's best Kentucky guards do. And that's getting to the rack, that's been able to create for others, that's shooting the ball. A very vocal kid too. Yeah, I could tell he plays with a lot of pride and a lot of energy. That's what I liked about him most.
Keep moving down this list. For my money, the best kept secret of the entire event, somebody that I'll admit I didn't even know this kid existed before I walked into the door the first time, my buddy Travis Graff, a friend of the show. You guys know him very well over at Rivals. He texted me and said, Flory Badunga, remember that name. And I go follow him over to the 16U courts. He's playing with Travis Perry, Kentucky's own Travis Perry, for that Indiana Elite 16U squad. And Sean, for my money, was the best big in the entire building, the entire weekend. Physically, he's there. He has an NBA-ready frame, soft hands, you know, can't do much outside of 3-4 feet, but so polished for his age and being so new to the game. You could clearly tell he's, you know, still growing, and there's a couple things that he's raw with, but goodness gracious, his you know, off-ball or offhand, you know, shot-blocking ability, he's athletic around the basket. I mean, he just does so much that you go, whoa, how in the world is this kid not known? He has almost no offers, you know, just starting to ramp up. It's just crazy how this kid has just emerged as this kind of this next man up in that center class in 2024.
Yeah, and when you start to perform not just one weekend, but it's multiple weekends. He was very good in Indy from everything I've read. And then what I watched and saw in Spartanburg, he was very good then. So then you get that consistency. You start stringing that together. Then you start to climb the rankings when those rankings are updated. Now it becomes, how far does he climb? How high does he climb? The play that stood out to me, though, you mentioned all the rebounding, his athleticism, shot blocking shots with either hand. It was the final play of the game, a game that's like a 13, 14-point, 15-point win for him. He grabs a rebound. rips it, runs down the floor, wraps it behind his back, and just about tore the rim down. I'm like, my goodness. And I look over, and every college coach on that row standing there, I stood right beside them, they just looked at each other like, my goodness. Like, it's just an unbelievable athlete. His arms are so long. Like, I'm standing there behind him, and like, his arms are like halfway down his leg, Jack. Like, I'm like, I can't believe the wingspan that this guy has. And he looks like he can still add some size to his frame.
Yeah. I mean, physically there is, I mean, it's hard to, Santo Surreal is known as the, you know, physically most gifted player in the class, just in terms of, you know, having a college ready, NBA ready body. But for my money, just in terms of, having so much this early while still being so new to the game, I mean, you're hard pressed to find anybody better than Flory Badunga, clearly going to be a top 50 player in the class. Yeah. And it's just crazy because going into that weekend, Sean, he didn't even have a Rivals profile, didn't have a
2-4-3 profile. Didn't have a picture. No, yeah.
Didn't have anything. And then now he's getting offers from all these high major schools. The interest is ramping up. Gonzaga is among those reaching out. Kentucky was there in person watching him that weekend. Orlando saw him down in Spartanburg. So, Sean, I mean, we're talking about a guy who's going to go from barely even having a recruiting profile going into the spring to most likely being a top 50 player in the class. For my money, could end up being top 35. I mean, this kid is clearly, he's clearly got the goods.
Yeah, a very, very good player that'll be just up the road, in Indiana playing and stuff. That's a very, very talented player that I would be keeping my eye on if I were Kentucky fans. And I think, like I said, the biggest question now is, you mentioned he'll definitely be a top 50 guy, but how high does he go? Is it in the 40s? Is it 30s? Does he keep, improving and performing and eventually be a top 25 guy? Like, it's definitely a guy that went from having no profile to being on everybody's radar. He is that talented, that good, and still has a lot to add to his game.
Wrapping up here, last player on the board, Koa Pete, for my money, goodness gracious. Look, he is 15 years old, Sean, playing up two grade levels for the 17U Compton Magic squad that, as we talked about earlier, has Andre Stojakovic, going up against Reed Shepard and others, some of these other, very, very impressive prospects. Absolutely dominated the competition, put up 30 points almost every single game, 6'7", 215 pounds, college-ready body as a 15-year-old, Sean. Clearly the number one player in the class of 2025, as impressive as they get in that class.
Yeah, and regardless of class, right, everything that you've seen from either be Indy or Spartanburg, he has been like the MVP or the most impressive overall prospect for a lot of media guys. I know you and I talked about it, arguably the most impressive guy on the circuit there, playing up two classes, great size, inside and out skill set, got his really good touch to his game too offensively, and just a very talented piece that Kentucky's going to have a lot of opportunities to watch, right? They're watching Andre Stojakovic. They extended that out scholarship offer. So every time Kentucky's courtside to watch Stojakovic, they're going to be courtside to watch Koa Pete as well.
Yeah, and it definitely, he kind of reminds me of a future Paolo Banchero. Okay, watching Paolo early, kind of had that same 6'7", 210 pounds, was kind of that versatile inside-out presence that really grew into his body and kind of became that 6'10 point forward type guy. That's who this kid's going to be. He's going to be the next man up, mark it down. He's clearly going to be the number one player in that class, and I don't think it's really that close.
Yeah, and the buzz has been there for a while, right? You can go back to last summer and you're reading the buzz about how impressive he was, whether it was at Pangos and everything else that he performed in. Like, just a very talented kid that, regardless of class right now, like, if you bumped him up to 23, how high would he be ranked right now in that class? Like, that's how good he is.
Yeah, and talking to his family, very humble, very, sport heavy family. He is, brother plays in the NFL right now. Dad played in the league, all these different basketball players and football players in this family. I mean, they're like 7 or 8 different, either professional athletes or at least high level D1 college athletes. I mean, this is a kid that he clearly has the gene pool. The DNA is there. He is going to be a future star. Keep an eye on Koa Pete, Sean Smith. That wraps up this episode. Great stuff. Great time breaking down these, future, current, current Kentucky commits, potential future Kentucky commits, and maybe targets to keep an eye on moving forward as the spring and summer progress. So let's get the heck out of here, Sean. Where can fans find your work?
You can find my work at GoBigBlueCountry.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at GBBCountry.
Find me on Twitter as well at JackPilgrimKSR. Reach out to me via email at JPilgrim@KentuckySportsRadio.com. With that, we'll be back next time from the Jam Pack Sources Say podcast. We will see you then.